Premier League records, Jamie Redknapp's most quotable weekend in a long time, and three betting tips for the coming week after a 90th minute goal ruined Sam's perfect day. All that and more on today's show. Hello and welcome to the Betting Expert Football Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Jenkins, joined as ever by Betting Expert's football editor, Sam Ingram. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Daniel. Very good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's that thing like when you're ill and then you get better and it's the first day after you're better and you just have like the energy of three men. Got that. Had that the last couple of days. It's great. I'm just...
Nice.
I got six arms.
Expecting big things. Oh. Should be a good pod.
It's going to be a great pod. Let's do a roundup of last week's tips from you. Win it or loss. It was a killer. It was an absolute killer.
Yeah, it was real frustrating, to be honest. And I've been giving tips in terms of the bets I fancy each weekend. And it's just so happened that I've found two most weeks. But picking two bets for the pod, it means that around even money, it means that we have to be 100% correct every single week to profit. And that's unrealistic, really, to do that every single week. We'll often end up in weeks like last week where we ended up by one of the last kicks of the game, we were going to be plus 1.7 units or something. And with one of the final kicks of the game with Grimsby winning 3-0 to scupper an under 2.5 goals play, we've gone from like 1.7 up to minus 0.2.
Yeah.
So I think going forward, if the bets are there, we're going to try and do at least three bets plus. But yeah, like that Grimsby goal was an absolute killer. In the other bet, we had Wrexham over 1.5 goals and Forest Green under 1.5 goals, and Wrexham won 6-0, really comfortable. I think that was the Wrexham part of the bet was in the first half. Paul Mullin scored a brace. We said last week that I think it was 2.05, that he looked a pretty good price to get on the score sheet with the form he's in, and he scored. But yeah, in terms of the bets, looking at them on the whole, we were, yeah, I think it was minus 0.2 units down or something. So not amazing, but yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think you mentioned the winter nil as well for Wrexham on the pod last week as a potential, which also cashed. It's just unfortunate. Was it 91st, 92nd minute or something for the...
Yeah, I knew it was coming as well. You know when you're like, especially on the unders pick, while I was watching Gillette Soccer Saturday and everything looked perfect. Wrexham was in, no problem. Groovy Grimsby was 2-0, and I was thinking, you know, I know exactly what's going to happen. I've been here too many times to,
you know. Just sit back, boys.
And then 90th minute, it come through, and yeah, just knew it. Could feel it in my bones, but yeah, we move.
Yeah. Again, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about not forcing and not putting a strict limit on the number of bets, but if you want, it just happens that you've had two per week most weeks since we've been doing the pod, so... If you want to switch it up and do three a bit more often, that's three that you like, then that's absolutely fine. Completely up to you. So for this week's show, we're going to do something a bit different. I mean, we were discussing topics and potential talking points, and the list was as long as my arm. So we couldn't just stick to one or two. We're going to do about 10, 15, maybe. So, quick fire. What have you got, Sam? Do you want me to go first? Do you want to go first? We both got things.
Yeah,
I want to bring
up. You can go first.
Right. So let's start with the nice and serious. It was Newcastle on the weekends. They, in collaboration with their shirt sponsor, they set up some haptic kits for their supporters who were deaf or hard of hearing or suffered hearing loss. The shirts would basically vibrate. And whenever a goal was scored based on the sort of atmosphere in St. James's Park. And there was that lovely moment with Dan Byrne, wasn't there, when he scored the goal and did a celebration in British Sign Language, which went viral on social media. I thought that was just nice, wasn't it? It was just a lovely moment.
Yeah, I'm such a big fan of that. Like, we don't want to get too deep, but like, we take so much for granted in life, and I don't think you really realize until you see things like this. And Newcastle have taken a match day experience with minimal sensory stimulation for some and just completely flipped it on its head. And Dan Byrne is a class act too. I just hope that this is something which maybe can be scaled up to each and every football club and to each and every deaf football fan. I watched an interview, Dan, with two of the deaf lads that were in the stadium, and they were buzzing. They were saying that if the away fans were singing loudly or the away fans scored, the bottom of the back of their shirt would vibrate.
That's crazy.
And when there's a lot of singing in the home end, like when the atmosphere is really ramping up, I think both of the arms vibrate. And for a home goal, I think the badge vibrated as well. I just thought that's brilliant. So great to see.
Good atmosphere at St. James's Park, obviously, it's well known for it. So when those goals went in, they won 4-0, didn't they, Newcastle? When those goals were going in, you bet you could feel it in your feet as well. You didn't need the shirt to feel the atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Right, great. What you got? Go on, your turn.
Yeah, so a little bit different. Bit of a weird one. The Winklevoss twins have pumped $4.5 million into Real Bedford in non-league. Now, the twins, if you don't know, they've become somewhat famous for featuring in the film Social Network. Two big 6'5" plus twins who claimed
Armie Hammer.
That, yeah, Armie Hammer, we'll get onto him. These twins claim that Mark Zuckerberg stole their idea for Facebook, flogged it as their own. I won't go into that as I can't be asked to get sued, and I won't really get into Armie Hammer, although you brought him up. Apparently, he is a cannibal, but probably shouldn't speak about that either, really.
Alleged.
But that is wild, and it's worth getting into a rabbit hole if you're bored at work. Type in Armie Hammer, cannibalism, and just see where you go with that. Anyway, they received a $65 million settlement from Mark Zuckerberg and made a bet essentially on Bitcoin. When it traded around $8 a Bitcoin, now it's over $50,000 a Bitcoin. So they made some serious money. With their millions/billions, they've decided to invest $4.5 million into Real Bedford. They play in the Spartan South Midlands Premier Division. That is level 9, I think. And for comparison, National League's at level 5 on the pyramid. So they got a few promotions to get to the National League. But they won the league last year. They're top now with 2 or 3 games remaining, so keep an eye out for back-to-back promotions there. And how did this come about? I was intrigued. Well, podcaster Peter McCormick, he took over the club in 2021. He met Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, and he told them about his plan to buy Real Bedford, his local team. And I've got a quote from the owner quickly as well, saying, Tyler and Cameron didn't know the difference between the Football League and the Premier League. Tyler's first question back was, how'd you get a team into the Premier League? And the owner said, I went away in 2021, came up with a plan, presented it back to them after 2 years of running the club. And here we are, $4.5 million later. The Winklevoss twins are part owners, I think you'd call them, in a level 9 non-league football club in England.
It's a lot of money. That seems like a lot of money for the 9th tier of English football.
Massive money, yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if in 4 years they're in the National League. That would be interesting.
Yeah, maybe. I'm looking forward to the film where it's the Winklevoss twins claiming that it was their idea and that Ryan Reynolds and Robert Mahoney stole their idea of investing in a football match. Looking forward to that. Next one, right? Manchester City set a record against Luton Town on the weekend. Did you see that?
Yeah, saw that.
104 touches. Yeah, you saw it because I told you about it. 104 touches in the opposition penalty area versus Luton Town. 104.
That's aggressive. Is it 37 shots?
It's crazy.
12 corners.
Crazy, yeah. 76%
possession?
Yeah, dominate the match.
It's a grim watch, unless you're a City fan or a Watford fan, maybe.
Yeah,
but
couldn't quite get to 115 in the area, but...
it's poor form.
Come on, man. Erling Haaland had 10 touches. He was responsible for 10 of those touches, and 5 of them were shots. which is, I don't know what that says about says more about Erling Haaland or Luton Town.
Did he score a brace today?
He had a brace, I believe.
So, no, I know he scored a penalty.
I can't remember. When it gets to, when it's games like that, you just, as a neutral, I'm clocking out. I get a quick fire onto the next one, right? Ivan Toney.
Yes.
You've got a bet on him to make the England squad.
I do.
But bad news. He has been dropped from the Euros sticker album. Unfortunately.
Right, okay.
The only thing more disappointing than that is that Panini has also been dropped from the Euro sticker album. It's
That's
not being
a
made
disgrace.
By them anymore. It's, yeah.
Pops. Yeah. Well, for our generation, won't be staying our age, but we grew up with Panini sticker albums, didn't we? Have they stopped? Do they not do stickers now? Or
I'm not sure, but I don't know. Maybe Topps have just outbid them for the rights or something that they're doing the Euros. I think they did the Champions League this year as well, the official sticker album. But I look back to 2022, to the World Cup, to see if there was anything in it, because you're always looking for betting angles, right? I wanted to see if there was anything in it. I wanted to see if there were any players in that sticker album that didn't make the squad.
Yeah.
There weren't. Everyone who was in the sticker album made the squad.
Wow.
However, I think Topps have taken a different approach to it this year, because I don't know if you've seen England's squad in the album, but
I've just got a picture up here. And
it's a shotgun approach.
Listen, if an injured Mark Gahey, Mason Mount and Luke Thomas makes the plane, then we are getting whoever compiles that sticker album, and we're getting them on here and we're getting them punting throughout the Euros, because obviously they know something that we don't. Yeah, that's interesting.
Rico Lewis was on there. Fiacatori was on there.
Yeah,
Callum Wilson was on there. How many games has he played this season?
I don't know what's going on there.
I mean, good luck. Good luck. What else you got, Sam?
I have something which some people are going to listen to this and think, this is why you bring this up, and others are going to be outraged. So Burnley's starting 11 on Saturday didn't contain a single player wearing a shirt numbered 1-11. Now, I know he's got bigger fish to fry at the moment, but if Sean Dyche got a whiff of those shirt numbers,
in his grave, yeah.
As he was preparing Everton to take on Chelsea on Monday, like I'm sure he'd have been spitting feathers. Actually, interestingly as well, back in August 2021, under Sean Dyche, Burnley lined up with all 11 players wearing shirts 1-11. So, yeah, interesting bit of trivia. What's your thoughts, Dan? Are you one of them where you're not bothered at all, or do you think we should be having 1-11?
I'm quite old school on it.
Yeah, same.
I've got Rule Britannia playing in the background of my head at the moment. But I do quite like, especially for defenders. Yeah. I don't know, I'm quite... Well,
if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to get a graphic up, I think. But like, I've got it in front of me here. Muric, number 49 in goal. Burge, number 16. Fofana up top, number 23. That's not too bad, I suppose. 33, 34, 47. Like, I know there's been a bit of player turnover there, but... Come
what's
on.
The average number? That's what I want to know. What's the average shirt number? It should be 5 and a half. It should be 6.
Yeah, it looks about 20. That's not good enough anyway. No matter what's going on at Burnley, that should be back in our day.
Yeah, wouldn't happen. Jamie Redknapp, he had a great weekend. Fantastic weekend of content for Jamie Redknapp. He's, I think he's let himself down for a while, but right
he's
in
back.
Form. Years back, he had a crack. Did you see what he said about Casemiro in the Man United's 2-2 draw with Bournemouth Saturday night? He was talking about his work rate. He said Casemiro's playing like he's in Soccer Aid.
Oh my God.
Unbelievably witty. And
I heard what he said about the supercomputer. What was that again?
He said Opta's giving him the ump. He keeps changing his mind.
That's it. What a muppet. Like if you're on the telly, and you're getting paid big bucks to give your opinion, and you're giving your opinion to millions of people, then maybe at least, you know, get your head around what a supercomputer is before calling it out. Do you know what I mean? I'm not the biggest fan of, apologies to Betsy, I'm not the biggest not the biggest fan of external supercomputers, but, you know, if I was on telly, I probably wouldn't.
You want to get clued up.
Call it out. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, the supercomputer that reacts to events that have happened.
Yeah, so he was getting the hump because it kept changing.
It kept changing with the... just wait till he finds out about the league table. That keeps changing when results change as well.
Yeah, he's in for a shock.
He's in for a shock. The other one I saw, Fantasy Premier League. It's not something we'll ever, probably never talk about again, at least not for a while on this podcast, but... did you see the person who had the most points in this game week? Got to be the luckiest thing that's ever happened in FPL.
No. What
he had 167 points overall, right?
Well, I had about 60, so yeah.
That came after triple captaining Phil Foden, who of course didn't play for Manchester City against Luton. That Phil Foden came out, Tyrick Mitchell came in off the bench, kept a clean sheet at Anfield for Crystal Palace, as everyone was expecting to happen, picked up 12 points. And then the triple captainship went over to Cole Palmer. He just slotted in four goals on Monday night.
I hate that. Like,
unbelievable.
That type of thing just doesn't happen to me on fantasy. Like, I've played it for years and years, and like, I don't know. I swear I'm one of the most unluckiest people on there, but that would never, ever happen to me. That's rubbed me up the wrong way, I think.
If you're listening, Richard Mason of Bulgaria,
then yeah, get in touch. Maybe.
Get in touch with the pod. Sam wants to fight.
What a scrap. Next, I wanted to mention Championship, because what's going on there at the top of the Championship is just daft, really. After a period from start of the Championship up until maybe 38 games or something, you had the three horse race, Ipswich, Leeds, Leicester. They couldn't lose a game, really, at times. And now they can't win a game. So on Friday, Mustafa Bundu strike down Leicester to the tune of 1-0 on Friday evening at Home Park. Massive result for Argyle. Did not see that coming. And a great finish too, by the way. And Bundu, actually, he played for Hereford previously and also made a cameo appearance for Newquay, which shows the trajectory of his career. And I have actually played against Nuki back in my pump. So that shows you how far down that level is. So yeah, fair play to Bundu in the Championship and getting winners against Leicester City. And then from Friday to Saturday at midday, Leeds loses 1-0 to Blackburn before all the 3 p.m. kickoffs. They've not won in three games now. And Leicester City also have lost two on the bounce. And then in the 3 o'clocks on Saturday afternoon, Ipswich hosted Middlesbrough. They couldn't capitalise. That ended in a 1-1 draw. And Ipswich, similarly to Leeds, they haven't won in three games either. They've had two draws and a loss in their last three. So don't know what's going on. Yeah, I don't know what's going on top of the Championship, but it's really, really close. And anyone could steal a march and probably shouldn't rule out Southampton in fourth.
Yeah, no, I was going to bring it up. I saw... betting expert contributor, Jimmy DePunt, sent a tweet out last week looking at a Southampton top two finish at 20-1. He also had Southampton to win the league outright, which I'd be less confident about, but it's not looking bad. I mean, if they've got a game in hand over Leeds. If they win that game in hand, they'll draw level with Leeds, Southampton.
And they play Leeds and Leicester, I think. They play two of the three, so...
It's there.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Some mad division, in it? So
yeah, I backed it last week as well. I thought it looked good. So
did you take the top two or the 500 to one?
I took the top two. Okay. Your conservative ways of rubbing off on me. So.
Yeah. I can tell.
Play it safe. Suppose you should do a little word on the Premier League title as well after good weekend for Manchester City. I think
Do you want me to take that, Dan? I know you're probably not feeling too good about it.
I think if you take it, it'll just descend into a therapy session.
I'll take it off your hands, don't worry. Right. In the Premier League, a not-so-super Sunday for Arsenal and Liverpool. Saw them both lose to Palace and Villa. And that was, yeah, that was on the Sunday. So City played on the Saturday and they pumped Luton 5-1, as we've already spoken about. Now City heavy favourites, looking at 1.40-ish on Bet365. A mile away from Arsenal and Liverpool, according to the bookmakers. So that was a big weekend.
Good news for you. He's been back in Manchester City pretty much every week for the past.
I wasn't going to mention it, Dan. I don't want to be one of them. Like, I've mentioned it a few times up until this point. I've been steadily backing Man City at like 2.17, 2.40. Around those kind of prices, and I was getting a little worried. Maybe recently, Arsenal just look kind of unstoppable up until Bayern. I think last week at the Emirates, and now it looks like it's all changed. It's still really close though, so I wouldn't be writing Arsenal off. But at the same time, this City team, and now they've got their nose in front, I wouldn't be backing against them, I don't think.
Yeah. For the record, Betsy still gives Arsenal a fighting chance and Liverpool slightly outside. So City are big favourites with Betsy to win the league at this point, up to 47.6% chance, which, considering Betsy has been playing down City's chances for a while, that's the highest percentage I've seen from Betsy for City to win the league.
Well, she's been really pro Arsenal, isn't she?
Yeah,
I'm guessing from the underlying numbers and the XG and stuff.
Yeah, I think since the turn of the year, Arsenal's XG stats have been ridiculous since the turn of the year. And they won the XG battle again
as well
on Saturday. It's Sunday rather. They won the XG battle again. So maybe the result didn't go in Arsenal's favour, but the underlying data was still...
I'll tell you what I loved enough.
Go on.
I don't want to rub it in like that. Second Ollie Watkins go.
It's good.
Beautiful finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, really, really,
really
good.
Nice.
It's one of those where it takes this tiny, tiny deflection. I think it did off Emile Smith Rowe. It just kind of ruins the.
Where is through on goal and chips the keeper?
I think it took a little nick off it.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
Ruins the aesthetics, I think, as far as
it does a
concerned.
Bit.
Yeah.
For me, he's
unbelievable.
Massively, and for me, like, he's turning into a player. Like, you know, you get those players when you who are through on goal and you're thinking, don't fancy him here at all. Like, Ollie Watkins now, for me, is like morphing into a player where he's through on goal. In my head, I'm thinking, I'd be surprised if you don't bury that, which just shows the transformation this season alone of like morphing into a really top centre, Premier League centre forward. So
it was the absolute opposite case. 2 years
exactly.
ago. Three
and
years ago,
also,
he was the most frustrating player on the planet.
Massively. And also, saw, I think, was it last week? Yeah, I think it was the national team coaches and the FA and all the clubs going to the World Cup. I think they had a meeting with, to the Euro, sorry. They had a meeting with UEFA to discuss potentially going from a 23-man squad to 26-man.
Right.
For all the nations. Which, by the way, if you've bet on someone to make the plane in the summer, that is going to give you a bit of a boost in your bet. And I'm just thinking, if Southgate gets another three players added to his squad list for the summer, which I think looks likely because I think most nations are on board, I think we could potentially be taking Watkins and Tony, which I'd love to see.
The conversation we had a few weeks ago, doesn't it?
It puts that podcast in the bin, it makes Ivan Tony. I've been told off, by the way, a few of my mates listen to the podcast and they keep saying, like, why are you saying Ivan Tony? It's not his name. So I've got to make sure to say Ivan Tony. It makes that bet look pretty good. So we'll see.
Fingers crossed. I mean, we'll see if Mason Mount can make it. If Wilson can make it,
he made
the
sticker
Thomas
book. Yeah.
It.
So,
which would you rather be in? I'd rather be in the sticker book, but
absolutely,
Welsh.
Absolutely.
Let's move on and look at some of Sam's picks for the week. And Sam, let's start things off with your first one: Stoke versus Plymouth in the Championship.
This is the big one, Dan. We've got two sides, and not just because, you know, I follow Plymouth Argyle, but we've got two sides here flirting around the drop to League One. Two big clubs. Stoke shouldn't be anywhere near that end of the table, given the club size and, more importantly, the investment into the club over the years. It's a bit different for Argyle. Many might have guessed they'd be right down there this season, but really, things were looking quite bright down in Devon before the departure of now Stoke manager Stephen Schumacher. He left for a better, bigger project in his eyes. He left for more money. He left for an opportunity he thought might enhance his career. What we have now on Saturday is a 90-minute period where he would absolutely love to win. It's a chance to take a stride away from relegation for Stoke and for Schumacher, and a big leap away from any suggestions that he made the wrong move leaving Plymouth Argyle when he did. Schumacher took his backroom staff with him, like most coaches do. He took Luke Cundall with him too, and the midfielder was on loan at Plymouth Argyle, where he was beginning to establish himself as a pretty handy player in the middle of the park, hence Schumacher coming back in for him and engineering a situation which saw Wolves cancel his Argyle loan and then send him straight back on loan to Stoke in the same day, I think it was, which was nice. So there's a real narrative here and an added edge in this fixture. Argyle are taking 2,600 to Stoke. That sold out quickly within days. They'll be noisy. They'll be expecting Argyle to get something here. And at the prices, Stoke opened up at 1.70 to win the game. Now, I'm not really subscribing to Stoke being 1.7 favourites at the minute against many teams, especially when there's a fixture with so much on the line with the other team as desperate as they are to get 3 points. So I'm leaning towards the value being in Argyle to get something from the game to avoid defeat. The plus 0.5 Asian handicap is at odds against. It's at 2.07. So yeah, if Argyle can avoid defeat, get a 0-0, 1-1, get the win, they can head back down to Devon with full profits, yeah, at 2.07. Now, I don't expect this to be the best game in the world. It should be a bit of a battle. Both sides are desperate not to lose. A draw doesn't do too much for either club, but a draw is 10 times better than a loss, given how tight it is down there and how important each and every point is. Argyle are actually unbeaten since Ian Foster got sacked. We've spoken about this before. We've took an outright position on Plymouth relegation at a decent price. They were heading that way under Foster. Now I'm not so sure with the managerial change. The three games under the Nanskerville and Juice Snip double act in the dugout, a win in Rotherham, an important draw against QPR, and that 1-0 win from a Bundu strike against Leicester that we touched on a minute ago. Those are the three unbeaten games under the new caretaker charge. Now, can they nick at least a draw against Stoke? Yeah, I think they can. Will it be one of the toughest matches they'll play this season in terms of physicality and the want to win in the other dressing room ramped up right up? Yes. At those prices, though, Stoke opening at 1.70, now 1.80. I'm not really having that. So yeah, Dan, I'll go to avoid defeat and lock in the plus 0.5 Asian handicap and odds against price for the first bet of the weekend. That's where I'm going to hang my hat.
Yeah, it looks good, Sam, honestly. I'm glad you brought up the Plymouth relegation pick that you did just about a month ago now. Obviously, a lot has changed. To be honest, I was a little out of the loop. I didn't even know who was managing Plymouth at this point. I couldn't find much information online about it when I did a quick Google earlier.
Yeah, so I had no idea. It's been handed to the director of football, Neil Juicenip, and he is teaming up with the first team coach, Nanskerville. So it's a bit of an odd situation. I can't really recall a time where a director of football has come in and taken charge of a few games. He does have a coaching past. I know he worked really closely with Stephen Schumacher when he was at the club. So it's not like he's just, you know, people who have visions of him taking his trench coat off, putting his tracksuit bottoms on and leaving his office desk and getting on the training ground. It's not really like that. But still, I think they took a massive risk, and I still think they probably should have got Neil Warnock in, but they were unbeaten in three. So, you know, what do I know? And we mentioned, I'm glad you brought it up, because we said at the time it was the international break, and we said, get to the international break. If Ian Foster is still in charge, take this bet. Then I think they lost to Bristol City, and then he was sacked. So they, they were sacked straight away. So although they gave him the international break, it looks like they weren't planning to keep him. And now I'm not so sure they're going to get relegated. But at the time, it was a good price, and I think it was value. And under Ian Foster, I think they were only heading one way. So
yeah, definitely, it's just a weird decision to give him the international break and then sack him straight after. But yeah, I watched Stoke against Swansea a couple of weeks ago, and they were absolutely awful. They were terrible. So. Schumacher's decision, you can have opinions on that, you can have your own thoughts on that, but it doesn't look like it's paid off for him where things are at the moment.
Not right now. Like the finances in Plymouth will be completely, as you could guess, completely dwarfed by what Stoke are offering him. So I get it. It's a life-changing amount of money. I just feel that I don't know why he was in such a rush. Just if I was him, it's easy for me to say, I'm just been offered £1 million plus, you know, for the season or whatever it is. But for me, just see the season out, wait until the end of the season, keep Plymouth in the Championship, and you have your pick of clubs. You don't have to go to a Stoke or a fighting relegation. You will literally have your pick of Championship clubs. So yeah, it seemed a little bit weird at the time. Seems even weirder now.
Graham Potter style situation, I think. Just should have just waited for the right club rather than taking the first offer.
Exactly. So well, money talks, Dan.
Money talks. It does. Wealth whispers. Sam's first bet is Plymouth plus half a goal on the Asian handicap line. Unfortunately, Sam, it's gone down. It's 2.06 now, but we'll still take it. Going down to League Two and Sutton versus Crawley.
Yeah, so I'm going to go for over 2.75 goes at 1.92, which is a podcast favourite. That has cropped up a lot since we started this pod in January, February time. Can I just say, Scott Lindsay, Crawley manager, wow. Crawley's season has been remarkable in terms of where they were at in the summer. I bet on them to finish bottom of League One during the summer, which highlights a couple of things. One, I'm terrible at betting. Two, Scott Lindsay, despite all the noise coming out of Crawley, all the doom and gloom surrounding the ownership of the club from outside of Crawley and supposed leaks from within Crawley during the summer, is very good at making the most of a bad situation. Now, I'll read a quick extract, actually, of my reasoning for backing Crawley to go down as bottom, as the bottom place club in July. And it should paint the picture of those not too clued up on Crawley Town, which should probably be a lot of you. So I wrote in July, there's a continuing exodus at Crawley Town. So far, they've lost 11 players boasting over 2,000 collective Football League appearances to their name. Ashley Nathan, Nick Cerulla and Joe Lintz are all rumoured to be on the way out too. 8 incomings head the other way to Crawley Town, seven of which, bar Liam Kelly, barely have a full season under their belts between them. Those seven that came in, they had 63 appearances between them. So they were replacing established, experienced Football League players with people out of the National League or players that hadn't managed many Football League appearances at all. And here they are, 7th, 1 point clear of Doncaster and 8th, who are also right on track. They're right on Crawley Town's tails. They've won their last 8 games in a row. So Crawley Town need to win against Sutton on Saturday. Doncaster have 3 games left and they don't look like slowing down. So Sutton away is a really important fixture for Crawley Town's playoff aspirations. So keep a keen eye on this one on Saturday, Dan, because I think it'll be a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, it'll have implications on both ends of the table by the looks of it. I think if Sutton lose the match, their relegation is secured. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So how does that, I mean, at this point of the season, how much thought do you give to a team's sort of situation within the table and the repercussions of a result? For example, if this match was taking place, say, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, with a lot less on the line, seemingly, how would that change your bet? Do you sort of factor the narrative into your betting?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me personally, those are the only bets I take with a few games to go. So it's huge for me. I mean, we're at the stage of the season now where there's an imbalance in play in some fixtures. The game state is so important to certain clubs and to others, but it'll be evident between the teams that aren't too bothered about the subsequent result and the teams absolutely fighting for their life at whatever end of the table they're at. And a lot of the time, like you'll see in my next bet, the current situation is heavily factored into the pricing, but there's often value in different markets to take advantage of. And here in Crawley, with both teams desperate to get the win, but not possessing the best of defences, the goals market is the standout route for me to take. So Crawley face a Sutton side scrapping with every sinew to keep their head above water. If Sutton don't win on Saturday, like you said, they're relegated. They've got two games left, Crawley Town and MK Dons. They're 4 points off Colchester. Colchester have three games to play, two, making this a really big ask for Sutton. But yeah, nothing less than 3 points will do. Since Steve Morrison arrived from Hornchurch in non-league, a couple of years after a stint in the dugout in Cardiff, he is returning 1.16 points per game, which isn't bad. That's 5 wins, 7 draws and 7 losses with a team that looked destined for the drop before he come in. You'd have to say that now, with the way they're playing, the amount of goals they're scoring, Sutton are playing like a side who should be comfortably finishing in mid-table, at least. Now, that is what makes me think that there will be goals on Saturday. Hopefully we can get an early one and open this fixture right up. In the last 5 matches, Sutton have returned profits on the over 2.75 Asian goal line in all 5 of their recent 5 games, with the following scorelines: 2-2, 3-1, 3-1, 2-1 and 3-1. And Crawley are in a similar boat. Before their 1-1 draw with Barrow during the week, they were on a run of 4 matches that had seen 4 or more goals in each. So this is a decent price on a good goal line, considering the two sides and the need to win in either camp. And really, Dan, I think we should get goals. I can't see this being like a cagey 0-0, although you could make a reasonable argument for that, for a cagey tight encounter, but I think it's going to go the other way instead.
Yeah, looking like both teams need to win, which should hopefully open up the match. Sam's pick is over 2.75 goals in Sutton versus Crawley. That's, again, price has gone a little bit. It's now down to 1.925, so very, very marginal drop in the prices. On to your third and final pick for the weekend, Sam, back up to the championship for Rotherham versus Birmingham.
Yes, so Birmingham are fighting to stay in the championship. It's as simple as that. This is a must win against a Rotherham side already relegated as the worst team in the division. Birmingham are in a position where two teams in the bottom four will see them retain their championship status for another year. They now come up against a Rotherham side on Saturday that have been really quite bad. They've scored in just 2 of their last 10 matches, losing 8 out of 10 of those matches. I saw them in the flesh a couple of weeks ago, and they were by far the worst championship team I've seen live this season. Obviously, that's not the most outlandish statement because they're rock bottom and already relegated in the second tier, but it wasn't good. And considering that, and considering Birmingham's need to win here and their need to capitalise on the scheduling gods that have Rotherham away as next up after beating Coventry, to many people's surprise, 3-0 last weekend, Birmingham are actually 1.57 to beat Rotherham. That makes me wince a little bit. It's really, really short for this Birmingham side away in the championship because they've not been doing too good. But you've got to bear in mind, they're playing Rotherham and there is an imbalance. Like we spoke about, Rotherham not arsed pretty much on, can you say a relegated team's on the beach? I don't think you can. Maybe, I don't think you,
they're in the bin, I think.
They're in the bin. So we've got a Rotherham team in the bin and a Birmingham City side after a big 3-0 win last weekend. There's an imbalance there, and it makes me look at Saturday's fixture a little differently after the Coventry result. They were really good against Coventry. St Andrews was absolutely rocking. If you get a chance to watch the highlights, have a watch. Jay Stansfield, who I'm a big admirer of, although he did play for Exeter, he'll be a Premier League striker eventually. He offers a threat at all times up top, in and around the box. Tyler Roberts was brilliant. Keshi Anderson and Miyoshi too. Birmingham fought for every ball at the weekend. They won 18 interceptions. That was the most of any championship side on Saturday, or on the whole weekend, sorry. They wanted it more than Coventry, simply. And although both had their own reachable objectives in mind, Coventry chasing playoff football at the other end of the table, Birmingham just wanted it more. And you could see it in every passage of play, both defensively and offensively. And if you take that fight, if Birmingham takes that fight into Rotherham at the weekend, Birmingham's going to blow them away. And I'm confident of that. And the issue is, we've not seen it enough from the Blues this season. Hopefully, they've turned a corner at just the right time, and they can put back-to-back wins together for only the fifth time this campaign. And I've gone through all of that, and I've just realised I've not actually said what the bet is. So the bet is Birmingham -1 Asian handicap at odds against at 2.08. I kind of flirted with the idea of Birmingham and under 4.5 goes at 1.80. And then I looked at Birmingham and over 1.5 goes at 1.86. And then I thought, you know what? Like, I think Birmingham are going to really turn up. Rotherham may not be able to cope with them. And if they only win by one goal margin, we get our money back. It's one of those things. But if they turn up and they put in a 2-3-0 like they did against Coventry, we're laughing at a fairly good price. And I know someone will look at this and think, Birmingham on the road, -1 at 2.08, it's not the biggest of prices. But you have to think about the situation. Birmingham need to win, and not all teams that need to win will win this weekend, but I feel like this is one where Birmingham will get the job done.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking as one of those people, Sam, Rotherham, I understand the situation. Rotherham are awful. 13 defeats in 15 for them.
Bad.
But looking at the table, they are three places below Birmingham in the table. They're hosting them, and it's a +1 handicap.
I know, yeah. No, I get
it. It's crazy. How rare. I haven't seen anything like that. It just goes to show how bad Rotherham have been.
It does. And you've got to bear in mind as well, like, this Birmingham City side are quite good. And I think we've also got to think about, if you look at the table, you look at the teams that are down there. I've got Sheffield Wednesday under Danny Rowe after a really, really poor start to the season under Isco Munoz. They're playing really quite well under Danny Rowe. And you've got QPR down there under new management. Really quite a good team, quite a good, solid championship team. But they had a really poor start to the season, which means they're right down there. Birmingham are down there. They've lost Tony Mowbray, who was brought in and unfortunately fell ill. And he's had to miss the last, I don't know, maybe like nearly 10 games of the season. So that's rocked Birmingham a little bit, on top of the poor form they saw previously in the campaign, and the debacle of getting Wayne Rooney in, which was a strange decision. But they're all reasons why these teams are down there. Plymouth Argyle, they were coasting towards mid-table. Steven Schumacher left. They're all reasons earlier on in the campaign why these teams are down there. But now, most of them are playing quite well. And I think Birmingham's time, after Coventry 3-0 at the weekend, I think their time is coming, which would be music to the ears of their fans. So it does look short. I'm not sure how much value is in the price, if I'm going to be totally honest, which is not the best thing to say on a betting show.
As a tipster,
I just feel it's going to happen.
Okay. I mean, yeah, Birmingham's away record doesn't fill with confidence, does it? I mean, they haven't. No. Do you know the last time they won an away game in the championship by more than one goal?
I don't think I want to know, but you can tell me.
It was August.
So, wow, okay.
Yeah, it was August. That was, what, 6 managers ago for Birmingham City? For Birmingham, you wish there's a documentary team there, because it's got to be one of the most interesting seasons that a club in England has experienced. Yeah. with what? Well,
see, City did one last season, which is like, I don't know if...
Yeah, for the treble.
It's lucky that, isn't it?
I haven't watched it yet.
I've watched a bit of it. It's quite good. Well, I suppose every year they're probably going to win something, so it was just...
Yeah,
luck of the draw that they did it last year, but
just imagine there was one at Birmingham this year. Tom Brady rocking up for a couple of weeks and going away again. Yeah, like they're struggling for goals. Okay, they're playing into form, but Birmingham have been struggling for goals, especially away from home. I don't think they've scored two or more in an away game since January.
Yeah.
Or two goals or more. They've only managed the odd goal here and there in their away games. They've had some tricky matches, to be fair. But
the way I often look at these Asian handicaps is because it is quite hard to get your head around whether certain lines are value or not. Is would you or would I play the plus Rotherham plus one Asian handicap? I just can't. I not in a million years would I play Rotherham plus one on the weekend, I don't think.
No,
I don't think so. No, but no, I agree.
Time, do you remember the last time Rotherham lost a home game by more than one goal?
Go on.
December.
Right. Look, so the odds are stacking against me, and I'm fine with that. I just honestly, well, like I said, I was flirting with like a Birmingham bet builder. The odds weren't great. The Asian handicap is there. I'd probably personally, if we didn't have, you know, we're aiming for 1.80 plus on this show, I would personally take the minus 0.75 Birmingham Asian handicap, which is a little bit less than 1.8, but
okay. That's
boring and that's not why I'm here. So the minus one odds against is, yeah. No, we'll see. We'll see.
No, I mean, it's one of those where you're not really looking at the data using, because you've watched these teams play in recent weeks and we know how bad Rotherham have been. Past couple of months especially, and
I think
considering the important, going back to our conversation on the previous bet, it's the implication and the importance of the match for these two respective teams. Rotherham are in the bin. There's mm-hmm. nothing for them to do other than, I would say, pride, but they probably haven't got much of that considering how many points they've got on the board at this stage of the season. But for Birmingham, it is a must-win game, and it's a lot more to them.
It's Rotherham's last home game of the season. Are they going to want to put a shift in for the home fans who have endured a season of crap? Probably, yeah. So
you could argue that they had that though when they beat Millwall at the start of the month around Easter time. So they gave their fans one last hurrah. So they might just limp over. It's not their last home game either. They're playing Cardiff City as well.
Well, at home?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Goes against that. All right, fine. I'm on board.
Wins then.
Count me in. Cut the check. Yeah. So Sam's third bet is in the Championship. It's Birmingham City minus one on the Asian handicap line. They are playing away at Rotherham. That's at 2.08 on Bet365. So Sam, single stakes for all of them?
Yeah, we're going to go singles, three singles.
Three singles. So just to recap, it's got that Birmingham bet alongside Plymouth plus 0.5. They are playing Stoke. That's in the Asian handicap market, available at 2.06. And we're going for over 2.75 goals in Sutton versus Crawley in League Two. Looking good?
Yeah. Confident enough with them. Like I said, not sure on the Birmingham price, but it's one of those things. And what I will say, actually, I was hesitant whether to include it in as one of the bets, and I didn't, because I was gonna put up Paul Mullin to score for Wrexham. He's at 2.60 away in crew are crawling over the line this season. I mentioned it last week on the show, they're really not doing too well. If Paul Mullin starts, they probably had a bit of a heavy weekend last weekend, obviously got promoted. So if Paul Mullin starts, I think he's going to be in the mood for it. He's four goes off Macaulay Langstaff, and I know as a striker, he's going to be looking at that and thinking, I could get a hat trick on Saturday, and then goes to the last game of the season, I could pip Macaulay and take the League Two golden boot as well as promotion. That's how he'll be thinking. So if he does start, then maybe have a look at that 2.60 price. I just wasn't sure if he was going to start or how Wrexham are going to perform. So it's not an official bet, but maybe just a lean to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it's not on the sheet, but yeah, I want to keep an eye on, just like the Truro picks last week, just something that's interesting. in the app.
Yes. Sure. Well, should we mention Truro?
Yeah, go on. Bring it up.
They
were the team last week you mentioned that were playing.
When we spoke about
it. How many games was it?
They played Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, I think it was. Ridiculous. So they played on Wednesday. Did they win on Wednesday or drew? I can't really remember. One and two.
The Yeovil game?
No, before Yeovil.
I think they lost.
Did they lose? or lose? But the game to have backed them was, I think they made 10 changes for Yeovil, who, with a win, won the league. So that was the game to back Truro when they were resting 10 players. And for the next two games, they played full strength against teams they thought they could pick up results. And they have done. And last night, they secured their status in a division for another year. So fair play to them. I was really happy with that because they've had, as we spoke about, they've had the worst scheduling I've ever seen. So to get through the back of that, fair play.
Yeah, a couple of wins on the bounce for them. It was 0-0. It wasn't a loss. It was a 0-0 against Eastbourne Borough. But they play another two games. They play on the 18th and the 20th after playing on the 16th again. So maybe one to be looking at. Yeah, maybe something to look at this week if you're listening to the pod early, playing Weymouth.
They're probably going to rest a few for Weymouth. Yeah, however, it's a bit of a dead rubber, that one now, for both teams. So
let's leave it there before we take up any more time. As ever, if you're going to be using some of the tips from this show, then please gamble responsibly, only betting what you can afford to lose. And if you have any spare time, please leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, because we're a brand new show, we're not really anymore, but it does help so much with visibility. Just sticking a review, putting some stars on would be great. Thanks as ever to Sam Ingram.
Thank you very much.
And thanks from me. We'll be back next week.